Little boy was out playing. He had a ball and a bat. And he was playing when his daddy came home from work. He wanted to impress his daddy with how well he could play. So he said, "I want you to watch me, Daddy. And I've been knocking them out of here today," he said. So he took the ball and the bat, got out there a little ways, and he tossed the ball up and he swung at it, missed it. He said, "Strike one." And he threw it up again, tossed it up and swung at it. "Strike two," he said, when he missed it. And he said, "Daddy, I'm going to knock this one out of here, this third one." He tossed it up, swung at it, missed it again. "Strike three," he says. And he went over to his daddy. He said, "Boy, am I a good pitcher." So he impressed his daddy with what he could do with as a pitcher. But I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. I want to talk this morning about saving the home. Saving the home. Verse 7, you know, that's the roll call of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7 is by Noah. By faith, Noah, been warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, or the saving of his household, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. You know, environmentalists are constantly warning us of what they call endangered species of animals or marine life. If we don't do something, certain species are going to become extinct. They're not no longer going to be around if we don't do something to save this particular kind of animal or marine life. And so they work and try to get Congress to enact laws that would protect these certain species that are endangered. Remember some time back when they were having fires out in California. And people were plowed around the house to keep the fires from coming to their house if they could. And because of some environmental law, they had to stop. And the reason they had to stop was because of a burrow, a certain animal is burrowing in the ground, and it was some kind of rat. And it was becoming extinct, and so it wasn't good to plow them up. And so you can take it to the extreme. But there are efforts to protect and save what might be endangered, or an endangered species. There have been summits on trying to save the rainforest in other countries. It's worth saving, they say. And there's a lot going on of trying to save certain animals, certain species, rainforest, and now we know there's a push on to save the planet, save the ozone, to save the dealing with climate change. They're saying climate change is the most pressing need we have in our world today, is to try to save or change the climate from where it's going. Getting warmer, they say. And so there's a lot of interest in saving certain species, saving the planet. But today I asked a question. What's been done to save the home? We don't hear much about that anymore, about saving the home. Is the home worth saving? Sometime back, there was some talk that marriage was probably going to be extinct. I was listening to a talk show, and it wasn't Rush, by the way. It was another talk show, and that was a discussion. Will marriage become extinct? Will there come a time in our society, in our nation, where marriage will no longer be, where people just decide to live with one another, unmarried, and not be legally married? But is the home worth saving? You know, the home is the first institution that God instituted. And he did it back there in Genesis, as we know. But here in our scripture, in our text, is a man who thought his home was worth saving. He thought his family was worth saving. And so he worked to save his family at all costs, against all odds, saving his family. And of course, this man was Noah. And Noah, it is said, walked with God. And one day when Noah was walking with God, that no doubt they had a conversation. And God said to Noah, the world has become too wicked. I've got to do something about it. I can't let it go on this way. There's too much wickedness in it. And he said to Noah, I'm going to have to judge the world because of the wickedness in it. I'm going to have to send a flood and destroy all flesh on the earth. And he said to Noah, I want to instruct you, however, a way that you can save your home, a way you can save your family. And so God instructed Noah to build a big old boathouse, a big one. And he said, Noah, you have 120 years to build that thing, but I want you to build it. That's the only hope you have of saving your family and yourself. Now, can you imagine Noah going back home and telling that to his family, three boys, his wife? Can you imagine that? Telling them that. But he did. And he saved his home. Now, what brought that about? How did that come about? It came about because there was a father in that home. There was a father, and that was important. You see, God dealt with the father of that home. The father, we as fathers are spiritual leaders in our homes. And God was dealing with the spiritual leader of that home, who was Noah, because Noah, you know, walked with God. And so Noah was in a position to be the spiritual leader because he knew God. So there was a father in that home, and that's very important. I was reading some stats that I clipped back in 1995. I don't know what it is today. But it was entitled "A Sad Reminder for Father's Day," and what it was saying is, or what the writer's writing about, was today Father's Day is a day to honor dads, but said for many, many homes, the honored guest will not be there. In South Carolina alone, it was in 1995, there were 200,000 children that would not be able to celebrate Father's Day because Father was not there. And it's still true today. Fathers are not in the home for various reasons. We know death brings about father not being there. Now, divorce brings that about, some other thing. But then, you know, the single pair of homes where the father is, no father there. And so it's important that fathers be in the home. It's important for the traditional home to be the kind of homes we have, or should have today. So there was a father in the home, and furthermore, he was a faithful father. As we said, he walked with God, and he believed God, and later on it says, when in building that ark, he did everything that the Lord commanded him to do. So he was a father of faith. Now, he went back home and told his family. And maybe the boys said, well, Daddy, do you really believe it's going to rain that much? You see, it had never rained before. Just a mist from the earth came up and rained. What are you talking about, Daddy Noah? You talking about it raining? That's what the Lord said. Where's all this water coming from that could flood the earth like that and kill everything? Where's it coming from? I don't know, son, but I believe the Lord. I believe he's going to be able to do it somehow. We're going to get the water, and what we're going to do is build that ark. But that didn't take a long time to build something like that, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. How in the world are we going to build that? He said, son, the Lord told me we had 120 years to build it, and we'll get it done. Now, can you imagine building something like that in that time when they had nothing like the tools and equipment that we have today to build something like that? But that is a football field length plus 150 feet. That's a long building for the time back then. But Noah believed that was what they should do, is build that ark. Yes, I believe God. He was a man of faith. Now, what if our children should ask, if we, well, let's just say if we said to our children, one day, son or daughter, the Lord is coming. And he's going to set the world on fire. He's coming to judge. And all who don't know him are going to hell. And all who do are going to heaven. And they'd say, Daddy, you really believe that? You really believe that stuff like that? Yes, I do, son. If we're faithful fathers, yes, I believe it. The Lord said it, and I believe it. You know, there are a lot of people today who know that the Bible exists, and there are a lot of people who read the Bible still don't believe it. They'll read that in the Bible and say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Lord will do it, anything like he said he'd do. But Noah didn't have any problem believing. He believed it. And he said, yes, I believe. And so he set out to do what the Lord told him to do. And he and his boys went to work, cutting down trees, cypress trees, and splitting them, putting them together, made pitch like our cement today, and built that thing, that big, huge houseboat to go in. But now, you remember the world was wicked that day. And the world didn't believe. Nobody believed this but Noah and his family. Nobody believed it was going to happen. Just one family. And all because of that father of faith. Now, can you imagine that these boys, Noah building on that thing, and these people out here who don't believe it, laughing at them? They're scoffing at them. What's wrong with those crazy people there? I know, working themselves to death, thinking it's going to rain, and it hadn't rained yet, and it never has. What's wrong with them? And maybe one of the boys would say to Father Noah, Daddy, you hear that? You know, Dad, it's embarrassing to be the only ones out here doing this and everybody else going around just living like they want to. And here we are having to work. Son, God said, do it. We're going to do it. But, Daddy, they're even making fun of your preaching. But let them make fun. I'm going to preach to them until we get through and the Lord sends that flood. And he did. And so, with all the odds against him, no rain, wickedness, scoffers, Noah kept on building that ark. And he finished it. 120 years he preached to these people. They didn't listen. They wouldn't listen. No way we're going to accept what you say, Noah. And so Noah said to them, and he said to his family, this ark is our only hope. This ark is our only hope. This big houseboat is our only hope. If we don't get on this and get inside this, then we're going to perish with the rest of them. This is our only hope. And so they kept on working until they finished it. And you know, today, what's our only hope? Who is our only hope? You know, the ark is a type of Christ. Christ is our only hope. We must enter into the kingdom of heaven through faith in him. And that's what we as fathers need to work toward, getting it across to our families, our children, and others, that Christ is the only hope. If we don't get in through him, we are not going to get in. We are not going to get in by being good. We are not going to get in by doing things our way. We're not going to get in unless we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see, we don't have to build an ark to get in. God has done all the work for us. He worked for us in sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And the work's been done, but what we have to do is believe and accept it. And so Noah said, this is our only hope. Boys, and Ms. Noah and their wives. And so it is finished, and God said, now go on in. So as you see that picture, Noah and his family going into that ark to safety, then all those animals following them in. And people, no doubt, out there still laughing. Oh, those crazy people. Gonna be all boxed up in there with all those animals. What's wrong with them? They went in, and the scripture says that God shut the door. God shut the door. And all of a sudden, there was a rumble. There was a shaking, quaking. And they look, and here comes water spewing up out of like geysers, spewing up everywhere from within the earth. It came, and then the clouds darkened, and rain began to come, and water began to fall and come up. And before you know it, the earth was covered, and that big old houseboat began to float. These people were running back to their tents, trying to stay dry, and they were flooded out. Sure that some of them ran up to the side of the ark and banged on the ark. Noah, let us in. We're drowning out here. Open the door. Noah would cry out, I cannot open the door. I didn't shut it. God shut it, and I can't open it. But we're drowning. I can't help it. I tried to tell you. For 120 years I tried to tell you. So they all drowned and died out there. The whole world. All except one family. And that was Noah's family. Because he was a father in that home, a father of faith, father who believed God, father who obeyed God, and it paid off to the saving of his home. The home is worth saving. And the only salvation, eternal hope, eternal salvation for the home, eternal saving for the home, is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that's what we need to be about, is the saving of the home, saving of souls, saving of lives through faith in Jesus Christ. Talking to people about the cross, about the love of God, and about how important it is to trust him. So I encourage you today, I encourage myself as a father, be faithful. God. Believe God. I know we have a lot against us today. I know the world don't see it that way. They didn't in Noah's day, and they don't see it that way today. We are looked upon as narrow-minded bigots. But that's all right. If we believe in God, we're gonna come out on the winning side. Because he is God and he cannot fail. You may be here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's your only hope. The only hope of salvation, only hope of heaven. And we invite you to come today and trust him. Give your heart and life to him. Let him save you. You may be here and need to make some other decision. Rededication of your life. You come as we sing our hymn, number 294. Will you come?